Okay, Galatians chapter 2, 11 to 21. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the work of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified. But if, in seeking to be justified in Christ, we choose find ourselves also amongst the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing."
Thanks, Pascal. Good morning, everyone. Is that a little bit echoey? My name's Ian, if we haven't met before. I'm one of our church family pastors, for a little while at least. Please keep your Bibles open as we look at this tough and challenging passage together. Thanks, Jim. And we do that. So how about we pray together now as we come to look at God's Word? Cool, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful, life-giving word. Please help us now as we look at it together to have open ears, minds, and hearts so that we might hear your word, understand it fully, and respond with thankfulness, all for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, I grew up on a farm in country Queensland. Woo! I learned a great many things living on a farm from a very young age. There was always lots of jobs to do, obviously, and I helped at times with ploughing and planting crops. One of the vehicles we used for ploughing was our bulldozer, a D5 Caterpillar, to be exact, if anyone actually knows what that is. Now, it was interesting to drive because it didn't have a steering wheel. Rather, you used two steering clutches, two rods moved like this, which you controlled by hand, and your feet managed the brakes for each track. The brakes helped you turn on the spot if you wanted to. The steering clutches allowed you to turn much more gently. Getting the idea? Hope so. Try to imagine that. Well, when you're out in a large, dusty paddock ploughing, you don't want to be there any longer than you need to be. The job needs to be done as quickly as possible, and you don't want to waste fuel. So it was a case of being alert and focused and staying in line with where you've previously ploughed. Making sure you're not going over pre-ploughed soil and not making sure you're not missing long strips as well. It's a case of managing all the machinery. You're looking behind and checking, keeping an eye ahead as well. Lining the edge of the plough with the dug up soil, correcting with the steering clutches and maybe even the brakes a bit. All to make sure that the paddock is properly ploughed, weed free and ready for planting. Pretty simple, isn't it? But the thing for me was, it was still easy to not always stay in line. Whether it was a poor turn or because I got distracted by something, because let's face it, it was a boring job, or I had to dodge a tree or a pile of rocks or something else. So it was easy at times to go offline and needing to correct the mistake, either with small corrections with the steering clutches or doing a big turn and plowing that strip up again. Whatever it was, whenever I took my eyes off the plow line, I could easily get off track and not be in line. Then I needed to realign the plow and dig up the soil again and stay in line once again. So, what does plowing and keeping in line have to do with today's passage? Well, because here in Galatians chapter 2, 11 to 21, what we see is Paul challenging Peter because he's out of line. Paul, who is younger in the faith, yet a leader, tells off Peter, one of the other leaders of the early church family. This isn't some new convert or young Christian Peter. This is Peter who Jesus said to, "I'll build the church on you." Here in today's passage, Paul retells how he gave Peter, one of the leaders of the early church, a right dressing down, a telling off in front of all the other believers in Antioch. And it all hinges on verse 14. Verse 14 states that Paul saw that Peter wasn't acting in line with the truth of the gospel. Paul is saying to Peter, "You're not walking and acting in line with the gospel, the good news of Jesus. The gospel isn't guiding you. You're not in line with it. Jesus isn't front and center for you." When you're going back to those Jewish segregation practices, Peter, today, I hope we'll see that the gospel tells us that we're justified by faith alone in Christ, not by anything we do, and that we must apply this principle that we're justified by faith alone in Christ to every area of our lives, acting in line with the truth of the gospel, so that our eyes are fixed on Jesus and we're not easily swayed, not offline from him, by the things of this world or by wrong thinking. In Paul's letter to the Galatians, so far, he's been showing that there's only one true gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that has been given to us by God himself. It's not a man-made message like the Galatians had been listening to, one that was taking them back into slavery to sin. Rather, the gospel is God's message to us that forgiveness and freedom is only found in Jesus Christ. See, the word gospel has its origins in the Greek word euangelion, which meant good message or good news. In the time of Jesus, it was the good news of a kingdom and its king. That being part of that kingdom, having that king, experiencing the victories of that king, and enjoying the benefits of that kingdom were good news for the people in that kingdom. And so the gospel is the good news of Jesus, the victorious king who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age and bring us cleansed and forgiven into his eternal kingdom. It's not the good news of Jesus plus following the Old Testament law to be rescued. It's not the good news of Jesus plus doing good works to be rescued. It's not the good news of Jesus plus being accepted or being a good person or participating in sacred rites or speaking in tongues or being this or that or doing this or that to be rescued. It's not the good news of Jesus plus anything else. It's simply the good news of Jesus, that he gave himself for our sins and he rescues us. Remember, the gospel tells us that we're justified by faith alone in Christ, not by anything we do. It all starts when Paul sees Peter and these Jewish Christians separating themselves from the Gentile Christians to not eat with them, here in verses 11 to 13. Verses 12 and 13 suggest that this act of separation is about following Jewish clean laws, because it talks about the circumcision group and other Jews separating from the Gentiles, not eating with the Gentiles. For Jews, these laws were about ensuring you're ceremonially clean and acceptable for the presence of God in worship. But for Peter, as a Jewish convert to Christianity, he knew the Old Testament laws couldn't keep him clean before God because they were impossible to follow and instead showed people how sinful they were. Peter himself in Acts 15 said these things when Paul and Barnabas came to Jerusalem, with which the start of Galatians 2 talks about. Let me read to you from Acts 15, verses 5 to 11. They say, "Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. The apostles and elders met to consider this question. After some discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors had been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. So, if Peter knows that these Jewish laws or customs couldn't make him clean, and that he didn't need to follow them, why did he separate himself from the Gentile Christians? Paul said it was because Peter was afraid. Afraid of some possible Jewish Christians who'd come from James. Afraid in what he knew to be actually true. He was afraid of the gospel. It wasn't that Peter had suddenly decided to start following impossible rules and regulations again to somehow become clean before God. It was because he was scared. Scared of some Jewish Christians who still thought that Jewish laws needed to be followed along with Jesus. So Paul confronts Peter and tells him he's acting hypocritically. About what? He's not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Peter wasn't just being a hypocrite because he was unkind and rude to the Gentile Christians, even though he was. Peter wasn't just being a hypocrite because he was unloving to the Gentile Christians, even though he was. Peter was a hypocrite because he followed Jesus now as a Christian, not the Jewish Old Testament laws as a Jew. His hope was in Jesus, not in himself perfectly following the laws. Peter was a Jew by birth, but was now more like a Gentile, because as a follower of Jesus, he'd stopped following the Jewish clean laws to make him clean before God. Jesus was the way he was now clean before God. So Paul said he was a hypocrite, accidentally leading others astray and even causing Gentile Christians to think they needed to follow such laws. All because he wasn't acting in line with the truth of the gospel. The gospel that says that only Jesus can make us clean, that only Jesus can pay for our sin, that only Jesus can rescue us from this present evil age, that only Jesus can give us salvation, that only Jesus can lead us home to one day be with God, that only Jesus justifies us before the one true holy God. Not us, never by us. Peter was a hypocrite because he knew the good news of Jesus, yet fear was dictating his decisions, not the good news of Jesus. His decision-making and his actions did not line up with the good news of Jesus. Now, it's surprising that Peter acted like this, isn't it? This was the Peter who had previously faced death for following Jesus. Maybe there were lots of struggles going on in his life at that moment. Maybe at this particular time, he just decided at the moment it was easier to not confront these Jewish Christians and just go along with it. Whatever it was, Paul needed to remind Peter and all the other Jewish Christians there what the good news of Jesus meant for them and for us in paying for our sins and saving us and for changing every single part of our lives as well, bringing our lives in line with Jesus. So let me ask, how do you go with acting in line with the truth of the gospel if you trust in Jesus? If you're anything like me, then you're also like Peter. At times we forget the gospel. At times we fear the judgment and thoughts of others. At times we separate ourselves from others in the church and think them less important than ourselves. At times we get distracted away from the truth or to less important things. At times we think we have to do. But the truth is, we need to keep fixing our eyes on Jesus and lining ourselves up to him, following him on a daily basis. Christian living is a continual realignment process. Sometimes little turns on those steering clutches, sometimes hard turns on the brake pedal, but always one of bringing everything in line with the truth of the gospel. The gospel tells us that we're justified by faith alone in Christ, not by anything we do or how supposedly good we are, and that we must apply this principle that we're justified by faith alone in Christ to every area of our lives, acting in line with the truth of the gospel. Remember, it's the gospel that saves. It's the gospel that says Jesus made us right in God's sight. It's the gospel that directs us. It's the gospel that helps us live for God. It's the gospel that constantly reminds us to keep fixing our eyes and lining up with Jesus. It's the gospel that says we're all equal in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10 powerfully remind us of all of this. It says, "For it's by grace you've been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So from verse 15 in Galatians chapter 2, Paul rams home this reminder to Peter. And what a wonderful reminder it actually is for us as well. Paul says, "We know that no one can be justified, that is, be acceptable for fellowship with God, by following the law, but only by faith in Jesus Christ." Remember that that was the supposed purpose of the clean laws, but they were impossible to always follow. Paul says, "Jews and Gentiles alike, everyone is only justified, only acceptable for fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. No one can be justified by works of the law. Further, our justification takes place when we're united to Christ in faith. And this is the same for Jews and Gentiles, everyone. It brings Jews and Gentiles together under Christ, our King. Because both are only justified by faith in Jesus, not by works of the law. Which, as Paul points out, doesn't somehow mean that Jesus promotes sin, because we don't have to live morally right, law-filled lives to be saved. However, it also doesn't mean that we instead get to live sinful and self-centered lives after accepting that Jesus died to pay for our sinful, self-centered lives. That'd just prove that we're just rebuilding our sinful, self-centered lives and don't really care about or actually get what Jesus did for us. And that'd just show that we're really just lawbreakers. Remember, the gospel tells us that we're justified by faith alone in Christ, not by anything we do, and that we must apply this principle that we're justified alone in Christ to every area of our lives, acting in line with the truth of the gospel. From verse 19, Paul finishes by demonstrating what it actually means to be justified in Christ by faith. John Stott said, "Such a person is changed. They're never the same person again. Their standing before God has changed. They're justified before Him. And they themselves have been radically and permanently changed inside. In Christ and by Christ, they're transformed." Paul says it like this: "Through the law showing me I could never be good enough, I died to the law by Christ's perfect sacrifice. And now I can live for God, not myself, but God. Furthermore, I and my sinful hell-bent nature were crucified with Christ in his sin-bearing death. So I and my sinful hell-bent nature no longer live, rather the risen Christ lives in me. So the life I now live in this body, I can truly live by faith in the Son of God, because it was Jesus who loved me and gave himself for me." And you know what? If our trust is in Jesus, it's the exact same for us. We also can say it, and I think we should say it regularly. We've been crucified with Christ, and we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. The life we now live in our bodies, we live by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. That's the truth of the gospel. And that's how we can act in line with it. It's because of Jesus and by Jesus. Now, in all of this, it doesn't mean we won't keep on sinning. Paul doesn't say we're now perfect. No, we're saved sinners. But because Christ, who is perfect, lives in us, we're now justified and righteous before God, acceptable for fellowship with God. And so as verse 21, as a final reminder, points out, we do not set aside the grace of God, because if righteousness, being acceptable to fellowship with God, could be gained through the law, or any other way for that matter, then Jesus died for nothing. So we hold dearly onto God's grace as it reminds us of Jesus and it leads us home. So here at the end of Galatians chapter 2, we actually might ask, why exactly did Paul tell the Galatians such detail of this interaction with Peter? Well, it's the same reason for why we need to hear it ourselves. The Galatians had found it easy, like Peter had found it easy, like we find it easy to forget the good news of Jesus and take our eyes off our glorious King. When we do that, it's too easy to no longer be acting in line with the gospel, with the truth of the gospel. So today, act in line with the truth of the gospel, not because you have to, but because you want to, because you're convinced that Jesus gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age and now lives in us, helping to live for him and be in line with him. Let the truth of the gospel cut into every part of your life, every part, and bring it in line with the risen King Jesus. Let's pray together. Gracious, loving Father, thank you that Christ gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. Thank you that by dying on the cross as a once-for-all perfect sacrifice, he paid for all the sins of those who trust in him. Because there was nothing that we could do to rescue ourselves. Thank you that Jesus defeated sin and that by rising to life again, he also defeated death, our two great enemies. Thank you that he alone justifies us. Father, thank you that we've been crucified with Christ and we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. The life we now live in our bodies, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Please help us to never set aside your grace, but to constantly remind each other that we're only saved by faith in Jesus. Please also help us to act in line with the truth of the gospel and to lovingly help each other to do this as we respond in thanks to Jesus. All for your glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.